All right, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. How many of you have sung that song before today? Okay, hopefully we'll sing that more. That's a nice song. Of course, there's a lot of nice songs in this hymnal, aren't there? Genesis chapter 15, and we are looking today at Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, we're going to start at verse number 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. Now look down at verse number 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. There we have the covenant that God made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, promised Abraham the land of Canaan. We know that the Jewish people, the Israelis or Israel, have that land today, or part of it, most of it. They haven't got all of the land that God promised to Abraham, but we see this promise right here. Now we're going to look at verse number 6 again, and this is where we're going to focus in what God says about Abraham and his faith. By the way, well, let's read it. Verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he, that's talking about God now, and he counted it to him, that's Abraham, for righteousness. Okay, so Abraham believed in the Lord. Now, if you know much about the Old Testament, you'll recognize or know that there are only two places that the word faith is found in the Old Testament. One is in the book of Habakkuk, and the other is in the book of Deuteronomy. But then there's a few places, I think there are three, where you find the word faithful. And you think, well, wait a minute, the New Testament says so much about faith, and why doesn't the Old Testament say anything about faith? Well, it does, okay? The word faith that you see in the Old Testament, it has to do with truth or a trustworthiness. Most of the time you see the word believe in the Old Testament, and that is most of the time our New Testament idea of faith. But here we know that what Paul talks about when he talks about the Abraham believing the Lord, it tells us that it's his faith that gives him God's righteousness. Faith is, and this is what we're going to look at today, faith. Faith is not something that you can taste. I'd be surprised if anybody said, yes, I've tasted faith. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't hear it. It's not something you can hold in your hand. It's a lot like love. And love is something you recognize the feeling you get, but you can't put your hand on it. You can't taste it either. And like love, you can experience faith. You can experience it by choice. Faith is not automatic. You don't have faith that an old rickety ladder is going to hold you up. You have to test it first. And that's what faith is. Faith is based upon or when we're talking about faith and faith in God and having faith that God's going to do something, it's based on the experience that we or somebody else has had in God's faithfulness or God's trustworthiness. Depends on external evidence. You see, how can anybody have faith in God if they've never experienced God doing anything for them? If God was unfaithful, would you have faith in Him? You ever hear of the boy who cried wolf? I think most of us have. One of Aesop's fables? The little boy was watching the sheep and he was lonely. And so he thought, you know, I can get somebody here if I just call out wolf. The wolf's coming, the wolf's getting the sheep. And then all the village people come running out to help him, and he laughed. It wasn't real. And so next day he's lonely again, so what's he do? He calls and cries wolf again. The village people come out and he laughs. The way I heard it when I was growing up was that the third time when the boy decided to cry wolf, it was really the wolf was there. And so he cried wolf and nobody came because they didn't believe him. He was not trustworthy. And as I said, the way I heard it, he got eaten up by the wolf. I don't know that Aesop had that in mind when he first wrote the story, but that boy was not trustworthy. He proved himself untrustworthy. But God has never proved himself untrustworthy. So even when Abraham, and says Abraham believed God, what experience did Abraham have with God before God made this promise to him? Well, I don't know, not much. But God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he says, you go to a land that I have for you. And he left and he went up to Mesopotamia, up north, in the land of Haran. And he stayed there for a while, but God was with him all that time. Then God said, I want you to go down south and I want you to go to the land of Canaan. And God proved himself worthy for Abraham to have faith in him, for Abraham to believe him. And so when God made this promise to an old man, by the way, he was only... only 70, 75 years old when God made this promise. So he was an old man, and when God made the promise, Abraham thought, okay, I'm going to have a son. Well, after a few years, he decided to help God out, and that was wrong. But you got to keep in mind also that Abraham had a son when he was 85. And that was Ishmael, but it was not God's promise to Abraham. Faith. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Go over to the book of Galatians. And I know in Sunday school we were looking through the book of Galatians, so like I said to the Sunday school class, there's probably going to be a lot that you have in common here. But I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. And verse number 10. Here, Paul is dealing with the false teaching of Jewish Christians, or maybe just Jewish teachers, false brethren, who are teaching that they have to obey the law in order to be saved. And this is what he says in verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if a person is depending on obedience or working out their salvation by being obedient to the law, that person is still cursed. The curse came when Adam sinned against God. And God cursed man, he cursed the woman, he cursed the serpent, and he cursed the land, he cursed earth because of sin. And so the way out for sin cannot be by doing these good works, the works of the law. you're still under that curse. They're still condemned to go to hell because nobody has kept the law perfectly, except for one. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. Now, we are, so don't get mixed up though, but let me point out that we are saved by obedience. Okay, what, Pastor? What? Obedience? Yes, go over to Romans chapter 16. It's obedience to God in and through the gospel. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. And Paul is finishing his letter, so he says, "Now to him," says, "I'm leaving you to God," and he explains this. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." Okay, keep that in mind. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what Jesus did, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And we've talked a lot about the mystery. God had the way of salvation was always in God's mind and heart, but the people of the Old Testament didn't know the whole picture. And so now in the New Testament, he says it's been revealed. Verse 26, "But now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith." So to be obedient to God is to believe in Him. Believe Him. Believe what He says. And that is obedience. It is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And so faith is being obedient to God. So we are saved through obedience, but it's through faith, because God commands us to have faith in Him. Now Paul continues on, go back to Galatians chapter 3, and he explains the truth of being that faith is the way of salvation. Verse 11, he says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." Evident means everybody should understand this. This is evidence that proves that only God's way is salvation. "No man is justified by the law, it is evident. For," then he says, "the just shall live by faith." And we talked about that in Sunday school, but let's go back to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Because what Habakkuk says, what God says through Habakkuk, gives us an understanding of the need that people have to be humble and accept what God says about faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, look at verse number 4. He says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright." Now, lifted up means of this proud person. The person whose soul is lifted up, higher than others, or at least he thinks he's higher than others. That soul who's lifted up is not upright. There's no righteousness in him. Okay, that word upright means righteous. Is not righteous in him. But the just, now that word just means righteous. The righteous shall live by his faith. Okay, so the person who is proud, his soul is not upright. He has no righteousness of his own. A person who is proud, thinking he can do his own thing, he can do either live his own way, or even that he can get his salvation by working the law or following the law, that person is not righteous. That person is not upright. But a person who is upright, or who is righteous, is a person who lives by faith. The just, or the righteous, shall receive eternal life through faith. It's the only way. It's God's way. And if you go, I've seen little tracts saying the Bible way to heaven. Well, that's nice. I like to say it's the only way to heaven. It's God's way. You cannot get to heaven. You cannot have eternal life if you do it any other way. So God has made the way. God has given us the instructions about the way. And you can only get to God through faith. And through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what God says. Faith in what God has done for us. So go back to Genesis chapter 15. God commends Abraham for his faith. And here it says Abraham believed God, or Abram, and that's Abraham, believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We just went there, Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. Now go to Romans chapter 4. You know, it's interesting, if you've ever done much Bible study, it's interesting how you can start in one book and one passage, and man, it can take you all over the Bible and take you from one subject to another, because it all just fits together. It's just everywhere. It's like a puzzle, or a maze. Because it goes from here to here to here to here, over here and around. But God has it all worked out that everything fits together. His plan is all here. Romans chapter 4, look at verse number 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Okay, Abraham, according to the flesh, what did he get? What did he find? Basically, the answer is nothing. Okay, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, if I could work for my salvation, if I could work the works of the law, and that's the way of salvation, then I can brag about what I've done. Then Abraham would have been able to glory. You know that word glory is the same word as the word boast. If you know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory. Same thing, same word. And many men should boast. So Abraham could boast. He could be that proud person. And that's what Habakkuk was saying. The man whose heart is lifted up is not upright. The man who is proud and thinks he can do it himself is not righteous. Only the person who is humble himself and recognizes there's no way that he can be saved outside of faith in Jesus Christ. That's the humble person who knows he has eternal life through what God has done for him. So Abraham believed God, and God, in God's heart and mind, I would say it this way, that God says, because Abram believes in me, I am declaring him righteous. Abraham was not righteous in himself. When you think about that, and we talked about it in Sunday school, when Abraham believed God and he received God's righteousness, that doesn't mean his sin nature was gone. He still sinned even after that. And so God says, I declare him righteous. Yes, he's still a sinner, and that goes for every one of us. We put our faith in Christ, I'm still a sinner, but God declares us righteous. And that is the word that we find in the New Testament, justified. God justifies us, meaning he is saying we are righteous and we can live with him, even though there's still the times when we sin against him. He declares us righteous, and that's how we can live with him forever, because of God's righteousness that is placed upon us. Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. He was saved at that time. Go over to Romans chapter 10. When Paul deals with this in Romans, again, he makes it very clear. And it's amazing that people, to me, okay, maybe you don't see it as clear as I do, but it's amazing to me that some religions will still say we've got to do this and got to do that. We have to add to, and we have to help God out. You know what happened to Abram when he tried to help God out? He had a son that is now against Abraham's promised children, the Israelites. His son Ishmael is the ancestor of the Arabs and the people in that area. And you can't know exactly who's who over there, except Israel. When they're Israel, and everybody's against them. And that includes the children of Esau, the children of Ishmael, and the children of Abraham's other sons by Keturah. And so all of these people are against Israel, because Israel was God's promised descendants to Abraham. Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 6. Now this gets to be a little bit hard to see, so I'm going to try to show how it flows, okay? Verse number 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Okay, this is, now that's where I'm going to stop for a second. The righteousness which is of faith says this. That's what this is telling us. Speaketh on this wise. This is how it talks to us. And then there's a verse number 7 and the rest of verse number 6 is like a parenthetical statement that we're going to jump over, okay? Because he says the righteousness which of faith tells us this. And look down at verse number 8. He says, but what saith it? What he's saying there is what saith it? It is the righteousness which is by faith says something. Okay, you got that? From 6 to 8. And then he says, you already know it. The word is nigh thee, or near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So basically he's saying, what the righteousness of faith says is what you already know, but I'm going to repeat it. Okay? The righteousness which is of faith says this. And it's actually in verse number 9, but he says in verse 8, that is the word of faith which we preach. So I tell you, he says, I have already told you these things, what the righteousness of faith says. And here it is, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that's the righteousness that comes by faith. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe that God's raised him from the dead. Then he goes on in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The righteousness of faith is teaching us this. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and we confess the truth. That doesn't give us righteousness, but we confess that we have been saved because of our faith in what God has done. Keep these things in mind. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 9. And be found in him. He's talking about his salvation. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me? He's talking about, Paul is talking here and saying, this is all the things I've done in the past. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness. Now why would he say that? Because if he wanted to be in Christ for his own righteousness, he's out of luck. That's not a good word, out of luck. He can't have it. It's not going to be there. Nobody's going to be in Christ by their own righteousness. He says, my own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So I'm going to be found in Him righteous. I'm going to be found in Christ as a righteous person because of my faith. And you think about that and you go, wait a minute. You mean that people can be saved just by what they, I'll say what they think. They believe what God says? You can be saved by believing God? That's it? That is amazing. But that's Bible. That's what God tells us. Believe. Faith. Abraham received God's righteousness by faith. That's how everybody else receives it. There's no other way to receive salvation or God's righteousness except by faith. When there is no faith, there is no salvation. When there's faith in Christ plus the works of the law, there's no salvation. Because when you add the works of the law, you really don't believe God could do everything. So you can't add anything to it. But boy, don't take anything away from it either. Faith in Jesus Christ brings salvation. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38. The writer of the Hebrews uses the same passage from Habakkuk. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, whether that's the writer talking about that or the writer speaking what God is saying, either one is right, okay? If any man draw back, if any man says, I'm not going that way, I'm not going that direction, faith in Christ. I'm going to stick with the law. I'm going to stick with being obedient. I'm going to stick with baptism. I'm going to stick with the Lord's Supper, and that's going to give me grace. I'm going to stick with anything but faith in Christ. That person is drawing back. They are rejecting what God tells us in the Scripture. So he says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That person is not saved. He says, but we, verse 39, but we, that's you and me now, who have put our faith in Christ, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Now, perdition means destruction. It means the eternal lake of fire. It means God bringing His judgment on a person who rejects His truth. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There it is, faith again. We are them who believe to the saving of the soul. Some people hear the truth. I talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. They hear the truth. They hear what God says in Scripture. And the basic is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they hear the truth, but they do not, and they might even understand it, but they do not put their faith in Christ. And so even though they have heard the truth, they understand the truth, they have never applied the truth, and they are those who draw back unto perdition. They are ones who end up being destroyed in the lake of fire. But we who believe, we are out of that destruction, because simply by believing in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Faith in God. And God said, I give you my Son. And it's amazing. It just boggles my mind that God says this is a simple way to be saved. And that's what God has done for us. Here in as we finish this verse, look at the next verse in chapter 11 here of Hebrews. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance Normally, think of something physical. It is the substance. This is made of paper, so that's the substance that this little thing is made of, whatever that is. Okay, but that's substance. Now, here the word substance means confidence. It means, it gives the idea of a secure foundation. How many of you are afraid to walk through that door and you're afraid that this cement floor is not going to hold you up? I don't think anybody's afraid of that. The word substance there means confidence. I am confident. The faith is the confidence in what God has promised, the things that are hoped for. And then he says evidence of things not seen. It's real to us. Now, it is real. When you think of when the Bible says that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, pay the penalty of sin, that is real. Okay? And it's God's way of salvation because I believe it, but it is. Now, for me, it is real and because I believe it and it's mine. The person who rejects it, it's still real. But it's not real for them. They don't believe it's real, even though it's true. And so the person who rejects it, they don't make use of the promises of God. So what's going to happen? They have no promise of everlasting life. Go over to Romans chapter 3. See, Jesus paid for all sin. And some people think, well, he must not have paid for all because some people still go to hell. Well, they go to hell because they don't make use of what God has done for them. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That means it's shown. It's available and it's clearly seen to us. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Because the Old Testament shows us that the righteousness of God can be had without following the law. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all that believe. Unto all that, of them that believe. Not, it's the righteousness which is of God, which is only unto those people who believe. Those people who do not believe do not receive the righteousness of God. Then he says, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified or declared righteous freely by His grace. And that there's that word that we have to understand. Grace is grace. And any works that are applied to it, it cannot be grace anymore. It's given to us. We're justified, declared righteous by God's choice and God's love, and God's mercy, and God's grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a... Now, if you were here Wednesday, maybe it was Wednesday last week, a mercy seat, a propitiation, a satisfaction. Somebody looked up here. That's not what it says. The propitiation. The other translation is mercy seat. It's where God is satisfied with that the blood has been shed that pays the penalty of sin. And so he says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission or forgiveness of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God made the way. Abraham didn't have the whole story of Jesus Christ, but Abraham believed God. And God recognized his belief and his faith, and he declared him righteous. God, or Abraham, received God's righteousness by faith. Our faith puts us in a proper standing with God. We are reconciled to God through our faith in Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous. When the writer to the Hebrews talked about these people chapter 11, and that what people call the heroes of the faith, he names many different people, and then he tells about people, then he doesn't name them. But he says this in verse number 2 of chapter 11. He's talking about faith. He says, "For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report." That means God blessed them and God honored them because of their faith, not giving up on God. And it doesn't matter. You can look at all the people. The people that he commends never gave up on God. Oh, they made mistakes. They failed many times. But in the end, they still had their faith in God. And that's what we need. Have faith in God and for what he has done for us. Because if we do not have faith, there is no salvation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." We need faith. Abraham had faith, and he was declared righteous. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous. We are to come to faith in Christ, come to the just shall live by faith, by salvation. Also, the just or the righteous who have been made righteous or declared righteous by faith, we now need to live by faith daily and follow God and listen to God and do as he would have us to do. Abraham, the picture of salvation in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ died on the cross. But it's faith in God and what God says. Our way, God's way of salvation. Let's pray.